As a long-time Rowan Atkinson fan, I can never hear the passage about the wedding at Cana without hearing him retell it in his sketch, And Now from Nazareth, the Amazing. Dressed in vestments as an Anglican cleric, he begins reading the passage from the King James Version. The narrative is at first embellished. For example, the servants applaud loudly from the kitchen when the water is turned into wine. And then it totally deviates from the version we heard today to include sleight of hand tricks and conjuring, which are received with delight and amusement. While, of course, it is an incredibly funny sketch, it also touches on the core of the passage. The wedding at Cana is where Christ performs his first miracle. He could indeed be called the Amazing Jesus, if it wouldn't be too cheeky a title, nor sound a little too flippant as a term of address for the Son of God. John records this moment in his Gospel, and it is only retold in John's Gospel, because it is a key moment in Jesus' life and ministry for John. Changing the water into the wine, Jesus took his first steps into the limelight, further revealing who he was and what he could do to the people of Cana and to the world. But it does not come easily. With the words, "They have no wine," Jesus is coaxed into action by his mother. I like to think that Mary absolutely knew that her son could help and said what he needed to hear in the moment. I consider it a good maternal prod in the ribs so that Jesus would do what she knew he could do to help. Mary even takes it a step further in prompting the servants to obey his instructions. "Do whatever he tells you," she says, which is an unspoken and very motherly, "get on with it," if I ever heard one. Jesus uses this first miracle to provide hospitality to the wedding guests. Often I've heard preachers remark that running out of wine at a Jewish wedding would have been monumentally embarrassing for the hosts. And here Jesus is, providing much-needed additional wine for the guests to enjoy. That is, of course, a good point and an important lesson about the place of hospitality within the Christian faith. But not only does Jesus provide additional wine in great quantity, it is superb wine. I like to think that this is symbolic of the depth of God's love for humanity. It doesn't just meet our needs, but fulfills them entirely with something wonderful. It is not the divine provision of sustenance, of subsistence. It is divine abundance. We also hear of an abundance of blessing in the passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah. It speaks of vindication and salvation. The once forsaken people of Israel will once more be proclaimed as beloved. It is a prophecy which promises reconciliation between God and humanity who have wandered and lost their faith. This prophecy reminds us that God does indeed love humanity, in spite of our inability to fully requite that love. We find hope in the statement, "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God." Humanity becomes a precious jewel that God will protect and keep, rather than disregard and forsake for its past behaviour. And the sign that humanity will receive is Christ. the infant who was heralded by angels, visited by kings as a newborn, and whose miracles in adulthood are a definitive proof that he is the long-awaited Son of God and Messiah. This leaves us with a lingering question. How do we respond to these signs of God's love for us? The first letter to the Corinthians offers some excellent advice, and it boils down to this. You have gifts. Use them. Just as Jesus was prompted by his mother to use his divinely bestowed gifts to provide wine at the wedding at Cana, the passage from the first letter to the Corinthians tells us that we have gifts, that they come from God through the Holy Spirit, and we ought to use them. With the advice that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, we are called to use whatever we have in the service of those around us, in great and small ways, to support and encourage one another. There's also an important reminder about the difference between individuals. No two people have been given the same set of skills and talents. No gift is superior to another. All are useful. And nobody ought to be judged for the skills and talents they possess or may not possess. What matters is that we live each day in the knowledge that there is so much we can do, and that we attempt to the best of our ability to do it. So my prayer for us all as we enter this new week is that we will use the skills and abilities we have to make this world a better place, one where we are mindful of others and empathetic, and live out our calling to love one another. And in doing so, show our love of the God who blessed us with those many and rich gifts. The Lord be with you.
And so.